This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're with Layla Mutin, who is our nutritionist in residence, and we share the podium once a week for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein you get a chance to pose questions to us. Questions come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And we're getting some great questions, including the following.
Yeah, this comes from Dan. Dan writes, a friend mentioned a supplement, MitoQ, which she said is better for the mitochondria than CoQ10. I'm not familiar with it. What are your thoughts on it? Thank you and Layla for all the valuable information you provide. Well, there was a study, and what they did is, this is from the Integrative Physiology of Aging Laboratory. They recruited 20 healthy men and women, age 60 to 79, and what they did was, half took about 20 milligrams per day of the supplement called MitoQ. It's made by chemically altering the naturally occurring antioxidant CoQ10 to make it cling to mitochondria inside cells. The other half of the subjects took a placebo. And after 6 weeks, the researchers assessed how well the lining of blood vessels, otherwise known as the endothelium, functioned by measuring how much the participants' arteries dilated with increased blood flow. And then after about a 2 week washout period of taking nothing, the two groups then switched. The other group took the placebo, then the first group, the other group took Mito 10. Mm-hmm. And what they found, when taking the supplement, dilation of the subject's arteries improved by 42%, making their blood vessels, at least by that measure, like those of someone 15 to 20 years younger. This is coming out of Integrative Practitioner Journal.
Right.
So this is very interesting.
Right. So, I'm excited by this, the potential of MitoQ, because in theory it sounds really good. I mean, the idea that coenzyme Q10, okay, you deliver it to the body, will it get to the mitochondria where it's supposed to do its job? That's a question. And maybe you can use a smaller amount that's more targeted. That's certainly interesting in principle. And there have been a few studies, but the studies are relatively small. It's relatively early, and I think there's some proprietary influence on the studies. So I don't know that it's been studied in a very, shall we say, critical or independent fashion to determine its bona fides. I see here that there's a company that has an exclusive on it in New Zealand. It's called Mitochondrial Science, and it's marketed. So of interest is, I asked a couple of guests who were recently published their podcasts. One is Dr. Sarah Myhill, and Dr. Sarah Myhill has written extensively about chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, and she has coined the phrase, it's not hypochondria, it's your mitochondria.
That's clever.
Which is clever because she's campaigned on behalf of patients with chronic fatigue syndrome who are dismissed as depressives and, you know, that they should be treated with cognitive behavioral therapy. She says, no, this is a very organic disease and we have to support the mitochondria. And she does believe in many nutrients for supporting the mitochondria, but she is a big believer in coenzyme Q10. So ubiquinol is okay too. But she hasn't jumped on the MitoQ train yet. So then I interviewed a guy who's written a book specifically on the mitochondria, Dr. Lee No, and that was a very interesting interview. And he has, by the way, agreed that the best way to support the mitochondria is with a ketogenic diet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The mitochondria, they get bigger. Then more are created.
Yeah. You get you know,
your fat burning. So that mitochondria increases in size.
Mitogenesis. Yes, you get mitogenesis. So anyway, he does recommend certain supplements, alpha-lipoic acid, even creatine, magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, pyroquinone or something, I don't know, PQQ, whatever, it's complicated.
Okay.
And, you know, he thinks these things have promise, so it's not like he's a Luddite when it comes to supplements or a refusenik.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to MitoQ, he says he's aware of some of the studies, and he's cautious in terms of jumping on board with MitoQ. So it's one of those things that I really want to keep on the radar screen.
Yeah.
I don't want to read as much as I can about it, and I want to see more studies.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Sarah Myhill, Dr. Myhill, was not a big fan of nicotinamide riboside. She said you can get benefits by taking niacinamide. However, I suspect that she wants to keep it simple and inexpensive for patients. And Dr. No, KNOW, does believe in the potential of nicotinamide riboside, thinks it could be helpful.
So he would know.
He would know. He's in the know. He's not like Dr. No.
Right.
Like, I refuse. He's...
Yeah.
We had some fun with that on the show, in fact. So, anyway, that's the story.
Mm-hmm. I personally felt a difference between CoQ10 and ubiquinol.
Oh, okay.
Ubiquinol, I found, was more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you have to question this effect of how much of this is, I know what I'm taking, mm-hmm. so I expect a particular outcome.
So the other thing is, the other issue is that you're a relatively young, healthy individual. And I suspect that there's a more of a dramatic effect in people who are extremely sick or depleted.
Yeah, probably.
You know, how much bang for the buck are you going to get,
yeah.
you know, with something when, you know, you're relatively healthy. Okay, you might take it as a preventive, mm. but you may not notice, like, some, you know, kicking up your
yeah.
heels and feeling fantastic. I mean, the other thing is, we take so many things, it's hard to know what's what. I mean, I take, you know, Niacel, nicotinamide riboside,
yeah.
I take coenzyme Q10, and I take, you know, such a, you know, profusion of things that I'm not sure what's making me feel good.
All of it. The synergy of all of it.
The synergy, hopefully
yeah.
that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dan, thank you for your question. We have another Terry that's written us. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Here's my dilemma. I so want to enjoy the outside now that the weather is behaving, but I hide in the house, doesn't matter day or night, because I'm a mosquito magnet. I'm paranoid because I worry about mosquitoes and the certain diseases that they carry. You know, that's something that's really good to point out.
Right, because the implication of a mosquito bite is not just a nuisance and really uncomfortable. It's scary because you might get, you know,
West Nile,
you know, these bad
yeah.
things. And the latest is, what was that thing that was threatening the pregnancies of women?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, you know.
Oh, yeah, was it Zika?
Zika.
Right.
Right. So it's the point where if that didn't destroy the economy of Puerto Rico, then the hurricane came along, you know, so the double whammy for Puerto Rico is like, you know, honeymooning couples who, you know, want to go down and maybe, you know, conceive.
Yeah.
That ain't the place, you know.
Nope. Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's terrible what's yeah. going on. Zika's just terrible.
So, anyway, so I am, you know, true confession, I am a mosquito magnet.
Me too.
They love me.
Yeah.
Part of it, I actually believe, is blood type. Type O's, I think, are more appealing to mosquitoes.
AB positive, and I'm a mosquito magnet.
Okay, so then there's...
So did I just debunk that?
No, okay. So,
okay.
And it just has to do with your, you know, flavor. You
yeah.
know, you just taste better. And for whatever reason...
We taste better.
Whatever, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're... more sugary, because I don't know that mosquitoes are like humans and they gravitate towards like soda pop, because we don't drink any of that stuff,
no.
and we're not diabetic.
No.
So it's just something is an attractant. They do believe that certain, you know, color clothing is an attractant. Colognes are an attractant.
Oh, yeah. And Terry doesn't want to use DEET. Neither do we, you know. But I've read something about eating more garlic, taking vitamin B1, which is thiamine.
But that's been debunked.
Has it been debunked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been relatively debunked.
You know what you could do, Terry, and this is actually a very good idea of my husband's. He's got a really big fan. And what he does when we're outside is he sets it up to blow the air away from. As long as there's a breeze,
right.
You're not going to get
That's what happens.
Nearly.
I'm by the water, you know, when I go out on weekends. And, you know, it's those tepid days where there's no breeze that you really get hammered. And when there's a breeze, which there usually is by the water, there's less of a problem.
The other thing, which I think is starting to come back in vogue because of all this mosquito population, bat houses.
Okay.
Not like Batman and Robin, but having a bat house somewhere in your backyard where eventually over a period, it takes 2 to 5 years to attract bats. They eat all the mosquitoes.
They do.
In the environment.
But
they eat
them. Aren't you afraid of them being rabid or something? You know,
I thought that was only in Africa or a particular type of bat.
There are rabid bats in North America.
There are rabid bats.
Okay. So, I mean, I actually, I had a bird feeder, and I went out to fill the bird feeder one day, and I saw this thing in it. And it was like, oh my God, this is like a dead bird in there. And I realized it was the daytime. It was a sleeping bat in the bird feeder. I said, oh my God, there's this bat in the bird feeder. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And it's like, well.
Thought it was a bat house.
Thought it was a bat house. So, you know, and it's like, don't get too close because it's going to like jump out. It's going to bite you and you'll get rabies and you know, blah, blah, blah.
There was more of a bat population a few decades ago.
There's an epidemic of some bat disease where they're being
and
decimated.
And that's why we have more mosquitoes.
All right. Okay, that could be.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're disturbing the natural balance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Sorry, Terry.
I mean, we did have a sponsor for a while on our show, Cedarside. And Cedarside is a pretty effective repellent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 100%, but it's a pretty effective repellent. You do smell like a cedar chest when you use it, but you know.
Cedar repels other plant life. Other plant life around a cedar tree will die.
Cedar is also a wonderful ant repellent.
Hmm.
You know, and we do get ant infestations at the house, and sometimes I just have to spray a line of, you know, it's sort of like the Maginot line for the ants. The ants don't cross it. You know, it's like.
Do you do the boric acid treatment where you do a little sugar and then the boric acid they eat, they're attracted and then they...
I do.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So.
Good point at which to pause because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So please listen up.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information, and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. So now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
This comes from Paul. Dr. Michael Greger recently blew my red wine and resveratrol supplement mind with his report that resveratrol supplements are worthless fraud. What say you, Dr.
I don't have much faith or... you know, confidence in Dr. Michael Greger. He is a doctrinaire vegan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got...
He was on Humane Watch as mm-hmm. well. He was written up as a doctor to not pay that much attention to that.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was called Humane Watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what that organization is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just... I've seen him talk,
watch?
And he's like very, you know, confident in his assessments of things, and I think he makes rather ideological snap judgments about things.
He wrote that book, How Not to Die.
Yeah, a modest proposal. Mm-hmm. There's such modesty in that title.
Yeah, How Not to Die, and he's militant about a vegan diet. Mm-hmm. That is the cure of all of our woes, but. Even the China study's been debunked.
Yeah.
T. Colin Campbell's book.
Yeah. I don't know why he's against resveratrol. It's not from an animal source.
Yeah. Grapes.
I think another of his things is he's sort of anti-supplement, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because he says, you know, just eat a vegan diet and you'll be fine.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But resveratrol has been shown in the scientific research to help with the sirtuin.
Yeah, well, you know, in deference to Dr. Mm-hmm. Greger, there is some controversy about resveratrol.
Mm.
Some studies have shown resveratrol isn't what it's cracked up to be, and some studies have validated its effectiveness. There is a critique available to detractors who don't believe that resveratrol is helpful. And there's some basis for believing that. I tend to disagree. I think resveratrol has benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. Longevinex is a good supplement.
Yep.
So, yeah. Thank you, Paul. All right. We've seen... okay. This is actually an email from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. As an alumnus of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign,
mm-hmm.
I received this study, and I think that you will find it important and may wish to share it with your audience.
That's a really fine university.
Yeah.
Champaign-Urbana.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's such a different place than Chicago. I mean, it's in Illinois, but it's like a whole different world out there.
Outside the city?
Way
outside the city.
Yeah.
So Michael sends us this study. It's a study explores carbohydrates' impact on head and neck cancers.
Uh-huh.
And basically, they say that consuming high amounts of carbs and various forms of sugar during the year prior to treatment for head and neck cancer may increase patients' risk of cancer recurrence.
Well, there you—that's mortality. The Thomas Seyfried theory. You know, is the notion that you know, going back to, you know, the Warburg theory, which is that, you know, the respiratory chain, when it's dependent on carbohydrates, that makes nutrients more accessible to cancer. And in effect, you can starve cancer by restricting carbohydrates. It's not as simple as that. But, you know,
many
cancers it's turning out are, you know, we used to demonize fat as the cause of cancer.
Mm.
Or protein as the cause of cancer. And I don't think there's a single nutrient that's responsible for cancer, but, you know, carbohydrates come out, you know, pretty bad when it
Well,
comes.
There is a fat that is not a great fat, and that's too much of the omega-6 fatty acids.
Yes, exactly.
Trans fats, but especially in the American diet, too much omega-6, and that was also the Warburg principle of we need more omega-3, or at least just as much omega-3, or much less omega-6.
Yep.
Is really the way to go.
Well,
and where do we get that? In carbohydrate-rich foods.
Yes.
So that could be another...
So, you know, cancer, there's major dietary associations with cancer, but...
And an intimate association between insulin, hyperinsulinism, and cancer.
Yep.
Which is what happens when you eat a lot of carbs.
Or, you know, another way of saying it, though, is to eat a lot of food. You eat too much fat, too much protein, and too much carbohydrates, you're going to have a lot of, you know, insulin production.
Absolutely.
And so...
you overeat, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And that's another reason that caloric restriction, even Thomas Seyfried talks about it. So it's being ketogenic, but it's also really reducing the calories to make sure that that's the case
as
well. So that's often helpful.
Yep. it's not just enough to, you know, eat a lot of fat and protein.
So patients who consume, they found, the most total carbohydrates and sugars in the forms of sucrose, which is table sugar, fructose, lactose, and maltose in the year preceding cancer treatment were at greater risk of mortality from any cause during the follow-up period.
Right.
Yeah.
And hence, there's also this clearly a linkage between obesity and cancer.
Yeah.
Not that thin people don't get cancer.
That's true.
But, you know, there's an association.
Yeah.
There's an association, simply. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is research that's pointing that out. Now, the problem with this research is that it's more about prevention of cancer.
Yes.
Because it's what they ate before the cancer. So it'd be interesting to take a cohort of these people with head and neck cancer and, you know, try and run a controlled experiment where you put people on a very low carb diet for 5 years, because you'd have to really do it over a period of time, and that'd be very hard to do that experiment, versus people who are allowed to eat whatever they want.
Yeah.
And to see if it makes a difference in prognosis. And unfortunately, those big studies have not been done. They would be very valuable studies, because then we'd have insights about what to tell people with cancer to eat. And it may be different for different cancers. It may be that this, you know, the sugar principle is applicable to, say, head and neck cancer, pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, maybe prostate cancer, but not to melanoma or leukemia. We don't know.
Yeah, interestingly.
Yeah, so different biology, maybe. We don't know. So we thank, what's his name,
Michael. Thank you for sending this to us.
Yep, and we welcome contributions from our listeners, and we've stimulated some good discussions with today's questions, so keep them coming. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. Remember to check out drhoffman.com. for great additional podcasts. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to our newsletter, because we've got some great articles coming out from both yours truly and Layla. We're both contributors to the newsletter on a regular basis. And we hope you enjoy the resources that we provide for you here on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.